afternoon and welcome to Power for the People here on Solar Power WERU-FM 89.9 in Blue Hill and 89.9 in Bangor. And of course, we are streaming everywhere in our solar system at WERU.org. I'm your host, Steve Cowell. Today on Power for the People is part two of a two-part series on Power for the People, talking with Efficiency Maine about the wide range of incentives ability to save money here in the state of Maine. And traditionally, we've talked about rebates and incentives with Efficiency Maine, and this one is going to have a little bit of a different spin. The guest today is Senior Program Manager Andy Meyer, who has been on the program before. Thank you, Andy, for coming on board.
Happy to be here, Steve.
And the big picture is here that you want to talk about the efficiency aspects of grid management. Is that a reasonable way to start?
I'd love to start there.
So tell us, and we are going to talk about the Efficiency Maine programs and some rebates and things like that, but we're going to talk about some bigger picture stuff that is just so important for people to understand in terms of time of use and peak power and that sort of thing. And so Andy, I'm going to take a lot of the lead from you, and I'll chime in with a question as I see fit. But this sounds like a really interesting half hour coming up.
Good. Well, thanks, Steve. You and I have always talked about efficiency. We're Efficiency Maine. That's what we do. That's our background. We've ventured onto a couple additional focuses for the organization, and one of them is electric grid demand management. And the reason for this is things are changing on the electric grid as Mainers electrify. You know, we go from oil boilers to electric heat pumps and gasoline cars to electric vehicles. The demand on the grid is really growing. So that makes a difference. It also matters what time people are using power. It didn't matter if you wanted to fire up your oil boiler the same time I fired up my oil boiler. It doesn't matter at all. But if you and I are both charging our electric vehicles at the exact same time, we've missed an opportunity to level the load of the electric grid. Another thing that's happening, which makes grid management challenging, is a shift toward renewables. We used to have a few large power plants, and they were completely controlled and they were centralized. And now with renewables, they're not controllable. They go when they go, and they're distributed. They're making electricity sometimes right on the roof of the house that needs it. So it's a little bit easier to get the power around, but it's fundamentally different. Another thing that's we hear a lot about is data center growth, with the revolution with artificial intelligence and crypto mining. We're going to continue to see demand on the grid. A fourth thing that is for me mind-boggling is called the Internet of Things, where your device talks to my device. And we have 600,000 homes all have a meter on them, measuring electricity use. We have visibility like we've never seen before. We're going to talk about batteries, talk about electric vehicles. We can remotely manage batteries, thousands, hundreds of thousands at the touch of a button. We never had something like that before. We never controlled boilers, oil boilers. And the key thing, the last big change is energy storage or batteries. Everything on the grid in the past was either something that used electricity or generated electricity, but not both. And now all of a sudden we've got devices that when there's excess power on the grid, they can take the power. And when there's a shortage of power on the grid, they can discharge it and export to the grid. So that's really given us new challenges and new opportunities.
And is your sense, or are there programs within Efficiency Maine at this point that even support the ability to network cars, car batteries? Because that seems like, you know, the vehicle to home or the vehicle to grid thing is a pretty big untapped resource at this point.
That technology exists and is used some places. We've got a pretty slick, different approach, which is an electric vehicle off-peak charger that you install in your house. You get a discount from Efficiency Maine. You can get a $429 EV charger, which is a heck of a good price. It's about half the price of others. And you could get $400 back, $400 instant discount, $200 instant discount, and another $200 rebate. That adds up to $29 for electric vehicle charger. And it's pretty slick because you can plug your car in anytime you want. Anytime it's convenient, you just plug right in and it will charge quite rapidly, except it'll pause automatically and avoid charging from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays, which is the peak for the grid. So we didn't have to get fancy of controlling your car. We can just encourage you to buy a permanently programmed off-peak charger, and every day that it matters, every weekday, you'll be charging off-peak. You won't know it. You'll plug in. You might plug in smack dab in the middle of peak, but no problem. It'll automatically defer charging to when it's cheaper. And if you have a need to charge at peak, you need to someday, it's no problem. You just use the app and say, I know it's peak, I know I'll pay more, but I want to charge my car right now. And you can override it as many times as you want. You can't override it permanently. You don't want to, by mistake, make it into an on-peak charger today, and then for the next few years it becomes an on-peak charger. It'll automatically, you don't have to worry about that. It'll automatically reset tomorrow and it'll be an off-peak charger again. It'll protect you. So that's one of the offerings that we have that's pretty low tech and elegant. There's nothing you need to worry about. It just automatically protects you.
Fantastic. Good to hear. Well, so let's step all the way back, maybe, and talk about the impacts and implications of electric grid peaking, which relates to kind of where we've already been, but let's make sure
Thank
we
you.
don't skip
That
by that one.
is super important, and I'm glad that you asked. When the grid peaks, a few things happen. Costs go up, grid reliability could go down, emissions go up, and electrification, the trend toward heat pumps, electric vehicles, and other things, slows down. And the cost is the most insidious. The costs go up when the grid peaks for three reasons. One, the generation gets more and more expensive. This is, a lot of people don't know this, but the first power plant that goes up is might charge a dollar. I'm making up pretend numbers, might charge a dollar. If you need more power than that, the grid goes out for asks additional plants to come online. The next one might come on for $2. So that raises the prices on the grid. But that first plant that was getting $1, they now get $2 too, even though they're willing to be. So you might be the first one to use power, paying a dollar per unit, and I come on board and we have to bring on the two. Now your costs are going to go up to $2 per unit because I jumped on the same time. So the generation costs escalate as even retroactively as we grow. Another thing that drives price is the delivery, the actual grid or the utility lines. If you have a big peak demand, then you need a bigger grid and it costs more money. Another thing that happens, this is really impactful, is ISO New England divvies up their expenses for all the costs in New England. These are the transmission lines that cut through the forest. The share that Maine pays is based on the single peak hour of the year. ISO New England takes a picture, and if we're using 20% of New England's power, we will pay 20% of all costs, even grid upgrades in Connecticut. Any costs in New England, we'll pay 20%. So we really don't want to be using a lot of power on that 1 hour. It'll cost us, for all of us, for the next 12 months. And the last cost driver is really an unpleasant twist. Transmission efficiency drops the more load is on the grid. And it drops by the square. So if we have to double the amount of power on the grid, our line losses quadruple. So you have to put on more electricity when you need to put on more electricity. It's really very, very impactful. So grid peaking is something that we really want to avoid because
I
it
had
raises rates.
no idea about that. That's really interesting. And that relates to a little bit of a side issue, but it relates to demand, the data center demand, which is
All
just
these things
right.
are magnifying the issue,
Right.
but there are, fortunately, in these mega trends I talk about, There are also solutions that are coming out that we never had access to before.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about how to avoid demand peaks then.
I'm glad you asked. There's a number of things people can do. One is what we've always talked about, which is be more efficient in your use of electricity. If you've got an traditional electric water heater, as Bridget mentioned last month, you can switch to a heat pump water heater and save 90% of the load on the grid. And you pocket money and you get lots of hot water and you get dehumidification. But from a grid point of view, efficiency makes a difference. If you have any electric baseboard or space heater in your house, switching to a heat pump will reduce the load on the grid by 75%, and it'll reduce your bill by 75% as well. So efficiency still has a role to play in reducing the load on the grid, but there's some other things that people can do to reduce their peak load. There's some manual things like on our dishwasher, we say normal delayed start 3 hours, go. And it's just a pressing a button 3 times, and it'll, instead of running at 7 o'clock, which is when we do dishes, it'll run at 10 o'clock. Just pressing a button 3 times is all we need to do. If you're doing drying clothes in electric clothes dryer, you could do it after 9 or wait till the weekend. You don't have to, but that would be a way to shift your load manually. So efficiency is one, manual time shift is another. Another is timers or programming devices to shift power. So some electric vehicles can be programmed to charge off peak. So it just built right into the car. My car does that. Electric baseboard, if you have a thermostat, a programmable thermostat, if you can turn off your electric baseboard from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays, that'll shift a lot of load. Dehumidifiers, window air conditioners can be put on plug-in timers, $5. We've got our dehumidifiers on a $5 timer, and it just shuts off from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. It does it every day of the week because it's a cheap timer. But if you could, some you can program by day of the week. Pool pumps can be programmed to run off peak. So sometimes you can have automation do it. And I mentioned the off peak EV charger that we offer a giant incentive on, the $29 one. And then the last thing you can do, which is new for us, and I think it's going to be a giant trend in Maine, is batteries. I've got a battery in my house a couple of weeks ago, and now every day at 5, my house comes off the grid and it goes on to battery power. You can't tell when you're inside. The lights don't blink, the clocks don't have to be reset, the heat pumps run, the refrigerator runs, everything runs. We could have a party and you'd never know what happened. But you're running off battery power, not peak power, peak grid power. And at 9 o'clock, when the demand on the grid goes back down, my house just switches back to grid power. I don't even know what happened. It goes back to grid power and the battery fills up. It's filling up off peak, so it's using the inexpensive power. But what that does, it saves me money and it actually saves you and everybody else in the state of Maine money because I don't use any kilowatt hours during peak because I'm lucky enough to have a battery.
Let me
So
do the
those are some,
littlest.
and the battery will take everything, shift load for everything, for heat pumps, electronics, appliances, everything. They still have power. They don't know what's happening, but you'll shift their load to off peak with the advantages of a battery.
Let me do a quick space identification here and then come back to make sure we do the whole story about batteries, because this is brand new information for me. And 90% of listeners, I'm 99% of listeners probably, and brand new information for me, literally from like 10 days ago. So you're listening to Power for the People. This is WERU FM 89.9 in Blue Hill, 89.9 in Bangor. And my guest today from Efficiency Maine is Senior Program Manager at Efficiency Maine, Andy Meyer, who is a big picture thinker in my experience. And we're talking big picture right here. So this is great stuff. All right, so let's come back to the battery, but let me ask this question. You have a battery, but without solar, is that correct?
Correct, and I'm glad you said that. I have a battery without solar. I live in the forest and I don't have sun falling on my roof, and it's not an option for me. So the battery does three things for me. It gives me backup power. We had a little power outage my first week, which was last week. I was so excited that the power went out and I didn't even know about it. I got a report the next morning when I checked my phone that said, by the way, everything ran without pause. You didn't have to reset any clocks, but you did actually. Everyone else in your neighborhood lost power last night, so it's silent. And painless, and I never even knew it happened. So one thing is backup power. The other couple things is time of use savings we talked about. If you're on your utility's time of use rate and you have to actually request that to make it happen, you can do what I just told you. It's program the battery. It took me 5 minutes, just pressed a few buttons, and from now on, every Monday through Friday, 5 to 9, my house uses stored inexpensive electricity, nothing to do with solar.
Presumably, since most people think of batteries as something that you do when you have solar power, you could still program your battery to time of use, even if you were charging it in the daytime with solar. Is that correct?
Yes, it's a little more complex where solar, if you're the time of use discount for CMP is about 25%. So my house uses $4,000 worth of electricity per year. I've got one and a half electric vehicles, eight heat pumps, a heat pump, water heater, and all my yard equipment is all electric. Everything's electric in the house except the wood stove. And that's $4,000. 25% discount, I'm going to save $1,000 a year, because my backup battery is doing a little side work on the side by saving me on time of use rate. So it's backup power that's paying for itself, and that is paying for itself with a discount. So I'm saving money. The third thing that batteries can do, in addition to backup power and time of use savings, is battery sharing payments, where your battery company will actually pay you. I know because we pay them. They will pay you to let them discharge your battery onto the grid when there's a peak event. So not every day, 24 to 60 times a year, we notify them, hey guys, we'll be buying power tomorrow between 5 and 8 or whatever it is. If any of your customers want to sell electricity, we're buying. The battery company then reaches out. You talked about remote control. The battery company reaches out, and they've already have agreements, and they discharge your battery onto the grid, and they send us a bill. We pay them, and they pay you. So someone with a, say, 12 kilowatt hour battery could make $500 a year, a check that they get from the battery manufacturer. And if you had a double battery, it'd be $1,000 a year, and that's over 10 years. So it's between $5,000 and $10,000 of checks you'll get in the mail, in addition to the savings on your electric bill. So you get backup power when you need it. You get to get the benefit of time of use, get a 25% discount from CMP customers. Plus, you get paid for battery sharing payments, can be $5,000 to $10,000 over 10 years. So it's quite a package. And this, Steve, as far as news, this didn't exist a year ago. This is all new. Batteries didn't used to do that. We didn't have as practical a time of use rates, and we didn't have battery sharing payments. That didn't exist in Maine. So it's very exciting.
Well, and the new information for me, and I might add, so I've got solar, and I've got a battery, and literally I was contacted by the company that sold me the battery 10 days ago to sign up into a virtual power plant scenario, which is what in essence what you just described. But nowhere in that communication with the company did they say that Efficiency Maine is paying the bill. So I wish they would, so that the Efficiency Maine can get credit. But this is—I just think this is brand new information. And as you just
It's
said, it didn't exist a year ago.
transformative. We're seeing giant changes in the world, changes on the grid, tools that are available to us. I was just talking with a guy from Vermont yesterday. They've been doing this for years, and they've got 5,000 people in Vermont have all said, sure, you drain my battery down if there's a problem, and charge it back up afterwards. We can do that. And the savings that they get, I'm going to look at my notes, is equivalent to a 48 megawatt power plant. No smokestack, no fuel, no wires, no employees, no hassle, no footprint, no spills. It's clean power. It's in people's homes. It's already distributed. The battery I've got and the battery that you have, I can power, or my battery company can take the power out. I can power all the houses on my street for an hour and a half. It's a lot of power in a battery. So really exciting opportunities to think of a peak power plant that's really inexpensive because it's already installed. It lowers the cost for everybody. It increases grid reliability because we're not jamming more and more electricity over the same wire. We have distributed, sometimes people call it a distributed power plant. We don't call it that, but it is what it is. So it's really mind-blowing. It didn't exist a year ago. We just started in April, and we're seeing people sign up left and right. I think we had 30 people sign up last week, so
Oh,
it's catching on.
a typical home battery is going to have, say, 6 to 14 kilowatt hours stored in it. Your typical EV has 60 or 70. Are EVs going to become part of this virtual power plant universe?
Steve, I'm getting excited just with the question. You've worded it beautifully. I would say it's inevitable that that will happen someday. It has been happening painfully slowly. So I don't know. I'm not. That's not my specialty to be able to predict that. But the question is a great one. My car has five times the battery capacity of my battery, and I pull my hair out thinking. The power goes out. I've got a massive power plant in the house. It's already wired to my house. It's already electrically connected. I'm hoping that someday we'll all have small house batteries, like what people are putting in now, like what you have and what I have, and we'll have big car batteries. So you'd be at work and the power goes out. No problem. The house battery can cover it for a few hours. You come home from work, plug in. You run the house off the battery, off the car, and if you need to go more than one car's worth. You just unplug the car, drive to the nearest charging station, fill up with another tank of electricity, and come back home and plug it in. And we'll level the load on the electric grid, which helps reduce rates for everybody and increases grid reliability. And we'll be safer and more comfortable in our homes. People will be able to keep their frozen food frozen, keep their pipes thawed, be able to keep the sump pumps going so the basement dry and keep the well pump running so there's water in the toilet tank. It's going to be a great, it's all going to be silent. And it's happening right now. You can buy these batteries right now. And someday, I don't know when, we'll be able to include the car in that ecosystem. So I'm glad you asked that. It's very exciting potential, but people don't have to wait for that. You can buy a battery right now.
Well, and to me, the electrification cycle is unstoppable, regardless of any administration who wants to make sure we increase oil company profits. And so, to my mind, this stuff is definitely coming. And I say that to lead into, because we're down to like 4 minutes, let's make sure we cover, I mean, you may have something else to add here too, but let's make sure we cover whatever Efficiency Maine is doing for electric vehicle rebates at this point, because electric vehicles are such an important aspect of where we society is going.
Thank you. Electric vehicles are where we're going. And we offer generous rebates and not just rebates. We've got rebates for low and moderate income people. For low income people, we'll give instant discount, not a mail-in rebate. You don't have to wait for it to come in the mail, but instant discount of $4,000 for a used EV, which is the best deal there is because used EVs, you can get them as inexpensive as 12,000 bucks. Or $8,000 on a new electric vehicle. That includes a $1,000 promotion through September.
This is
Moderate
for this is
income,
for low income, you said.
that's for low income. Yep, that's SNAP, TANF, LIHEAP, MaineCare recipients can get $4,000 or $8,000 discount when they buy a used or new car. And people who are of moderate income, filing singly, adjusted gross income below $70,000 or filing jointly under $100,000 a year adjusted gross income, they can get $3,000 instant discount on used or $6,000 instant discount on a new car, new electric vehicle. And that also includes the $1,000 promotion that is good through the end of September. It's only for all electric cars, not plug-in hybrids that also have a gas tank. It can't have a gas tank. It's going to be purchased, not leased. It's going to be from a participating dealer listed on efficiencymaine.com. And it's going to be charged using an off-peak charger. That was the one I mentioned for $29. And A couple of the things we have on our website, efficiencymain.com, is a vehicle finder, a fabulous tool. So I looked a little earlier, and you can buy a 2020 Nissan Leaf with 59,000 miles on it for $14,000. And you remember, I just said, depending on your income, you could get $3,000 to $4,000 off. So that $14,000 car is $10,000 or $11,000 for an EV. And remember, as you know, charging an EV costs the equivalent of $1.95 a gallon of gas. So it's a fraction of the price of gasoline, and you can get one for $11,000 or $12,000, for $10,000 or $11,000. So the vehicle finder is a great tool on efficiencymain.com. We've got a dealer locator on efficiencymain.com, and we've got a cost of operating your compare driving cost calculator on efficiencymain.com, so you can see how much you'd save. People like EVs for a lot of different reasons. They're fun, they're reliable, they also save a lot of money. And if you can buy a used one and get an instant discount through Efficiency Maine, you could be driving EV very inexpensively, very easily.
In my classes, where I always start when I announce that we're going to talk about EVs, everybody goes, "Yeah, great idea, but we're never going to own one." By the end of the class, everybody's going, "Wait a minute, it has that kind of acceleration, and the electricity costs the equivalent of $1.40 a gallon of gasoline, and there's fewer parts and fewer service intervals. They're win-win-win in so many different ways."
And they're now highly affordable. I don't know that I would say they're cheaper than gas, but I just told you $10,000 or $11,000 you could get into an electric vehicle and cut your fuel costs in half right now. And it's on efficiencymain.com.
So, Andy, we're basically out of time, unfortunately, because there are nuances that I wanted to cover here. But just real quickly, that off-peak car charger that you mentioned, with after rebate was $29. Is that, I mean, a car charger is several thousand dollars. Is this an add-on to an existing car charger unit, or is this its own thing?
This is a real charger. This is a 48-amp level 2 indoor outdoor high. That's as fast as my car can take power. So it's not like a charger you see on the highway, but for level 2, 240 volt, it's a real deal. The $29 does not include installation. You'd still need to hire an
Gotcha.
electrician
Gotcha. Okay.
to get it installed. But this is the best. You can't find a better deal anywhere. It's
Right.
almost free.
Well, thank you so much, Andy. And as usual, we needed more time, but we are out of time. So you have been listening to Power for the People here on WERU-FM 89.9 in Blue Hill and 89.9 in Bangor with Senior Program Manager Andy Meyer from Efficiency Maine. And so keep in mind, as we talk about on this program, this was part two program, and so I just want to say it again here, that you can find out more information here on efficiencymain.com, and there's a call center that maybe you know the number off the top of your
Eight
head.
eight six six 376-2463.
63. And so if you get on the website and you need clarification of anything, try that call center. So again, thanks so much, Andy. Look forward to seeing you at future energy shows and things like that. This has always just been so illuminating. So thanks a million, and we'll see you again soon.
Thanks, Steve.